Amen. I want to invite you to grab a copy of God's Word and turn with me to Matthew chapter 28 and find with me verse 16. Matthew 28, verse 16, and I want to add my word of welcome to you this morning. Thank you for being here at this all in one service, and I know we flipped it on you a little bit, changed things around on you, but we are grateful to God that you are here today, and we wanted to try to communicate all this information one time rather than two times this morning. I really want to make sure that you have one of these mission guides. And so if you don't have one of these, will you just raise your hand and one of our folks will put a missions guide in your hand. Will you raise your hand if you don't have one? Everyone here have one? Well, super. Good, good, good. If you didn't, you can grab one on your way out, or if you want another one, you can grab it on the way out. I want to invite you, as you found Matthew 28, verse 16, just hold it there for just a minute as our men continue to receive this morning's tithes and offerings. And then I want to invite you to just bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment. I want to share with you some four or five real needs, and I want to find out what kind of needs you have in your life this morning. And so will you just bow your heads and prayer with me this morning right quick? Will you do that? And I want us to be remembering this. Here's what I know to be true about the Great Commission and Mission Sunday. We're only going to have the zeal and the intentionality to go out and share the gospel of Christ as we feel like Christ has ministered to us, and as we feel like that Christ is at work in our hearts and our lives. Our heart and desire for everyone here this morning, everyone who comes from Sunday to Sunday, is that you know Christ, that you know the power of his resurrection, because the Holy Spirit of God is dwelling inside of you, that you have been born again. You've been born once physically by your birth mother, and then you have been born again a second time through the power of God. That means that your soul that was designed to live forever was quickened and made alive in Christ, that you know him, that your sins have been forgiven. And we not only want you to know the power of the resurrection for salvation for all eternity, but I want you to know the power of the resurrection for your daily life. We've had opportunity this morning to share that power of resurrection with Mary Gilly on the phone. I want you all to be praying for her husband Dale. It's not doing well. Tony Smith needs our prayers. Norris Wilson down in Bowling Green in the hospital. He and Charlene need to be lifted up. Jim Williams, one of our young families, he, his wife Leah, they're in Louisville in the hospital. And so these folks are just not doing well. They're struggling physically. And they've all asked, would you have our folks pray on Sunday? And so I lift those names up to you, Jim Williams, Norris Wilson, Dale Gilly, Tony Smith, that you would be faithful to pray for them this morning. You may jot those names down, pray for them at another time. But also, I want to just pray for those of you who are here. Maybe you're not sick like they are. Maybe you're just emotionally or just not well. Maybe you just are anxious, or maybe you're fearful and you're just thinking, you know what, I'm not for sure if I can do this holiday season or not. And so maybe you're emotionally just not well. Maybe relationally, there's some relationships in your life that are not healthy. You know they're not healthy, and God's calling you to mend those relationships. He's calling you to respond with the grace of Christ in those relationships. And so I want to encourage you this morning to ask God as we pray, God, help me to deal the way that Christ would in those relationships. If I need to be forgiven, God, may I ask, and if I need to extend forgiveness, may I show abundant mercy. Maybe that's how you're here this morning. Maybe it is that physically you're fine. Maybe it is that emotionally you're fine, relationally you're fine. But maybe you're just here this morning and you would say, you know, spiritually I've got some real struggle in my life. I feel like God's calling me to surrender my whole life to him and follow his lordship. But I've just have not done that to this point in my life. I'm not for sure necessarily, Pastor, how to do that. And I want you to know that if we turn from our sin, the Bible, biblical word is repent. We turn from our sin and we turn to Christ. And we believe in our heart that God hath allowed him to be a substitute for our sin on the cross. And then he was dead and buried, and he rose from the grave on the third day. The Bible says that we too can have eternal life by professing our faith in Christ, by turning from our sin and believing that he is God. And so I want to encourage you as we pray this morning to allow the Lord to work fully in you. And so with no one looking around, it just seems like every head in here is bowed. Would any of you just say, Pastor, pray for me? Don't call my name out, but one of those areas, that's me. And I really need a touch from the Lord. Amen. Yep. 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 Well, let's agree together before we read God's word. Lord, you are faithful and true. God, you tell us in your word that you cannot deny yourself. The word of your testimony is truth, and in that truth there lies deliverance and freedom for all who turn to you and call upon your name. And God, I am so mindful as we come to this Mission Sunday that we're talking about Great Commission offering, and we're talking about Lonnie Moon, we're talking about mission opportunities locally and globally for the next year. I'm mindful, God, that you are Lord today. And God, that you draw us and call us to yourself today. That, Lord, we ought not look so far out there in the future that we forget about the Great Commission need that is around us even here in this place this morning. And so, Father, I thank you for forgiving me of my sin and, God, allowing me to be born again, changing my heart and, God, my heart's ambition, Lord, from making a name for myself to really being concerned about making a name for Christ and, Lord, your kingdom. And so, God, thank you for that freedom that comes. Thank you for giving me a wife who knows you, who has been born again, God, who loves you, who serves you, and for boys that have come to know you in faith. Lord, we treasure that. And, God, thank you for a faith family that loves you and desires to serve you and know you. Thank you for these who are gathered here today, whether they've been long-term members at Calvary or, God, whether they have newly started coming. Lord, we're grateful for their presence in this place today. And God, whatever needs are before us, whether it's like Dale and Jim and Norris and Tony, who are just physically, Lord, under affliction and really in a real trial of their faith right now. God, whether it's folks like them or, Lord, whether it's someone who's struggling in any of those other areas, maybe not spiritually, but emotionally or relationally, God, I pray that you'll really minister today as we hear about opportunities of how you will use us. And Lord, I pray right now that you will help everyone in this place to know that, God, you use broken vessels for your honor and glory. Lord, you use people who have been marred by sin and whose lives are not all together. Lord, you use us for your glory as you work in our lives, as you teach us one victory after another, as you show your faithfulness in our lives from day to day. And so, God, on this Sunday morning that we're looking ahead, God, I pray that you would move and minister in this place right now. And we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. And you all said, amen. Amen. I want to invite you to read with me verses 16 down through 20 of Matthew chapter 28. And as we read those together this morning, I'm going to preach just as quickly as I can. And then you're going to hear from members of our church council team, members of our missions team as they come forward and walk you through that missions guide for 2015. And so I want us to read together beginning in verse 16. These are some of the last words that Jesus Christ spoke before he ascended into heaven. And as he's sharing these with disciples and a crowd of people who have gathered around. And I want you to listen to what he said. It says, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. That's the way we gather here today. Some of us are going to worship the Lord, and then some of us will doubt the Lord. Some of us will say today, Lord, I really want to be used to make disciples, and I really want to know you and be able to share Christ in 2015 like never before. And some of you will wonder and question, is that really God's plan for me, that he wants to use me to invite others to come to know his power and his grace? And then the Bible says, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. The Great Commission challenge that we see here in Matthew 28 that Jesus shares with his disciples and those who are gathered around as he's fixing to ascend into heaven. It begins with a promise of God in verse 18 and then in verse 20, sort of as bookends to what Jesus is about to share with his disciples. He shares a wonderful promise of God, and it is important for us to hear that and understand that this morning, because if we're going to be used by the Lord today, tomorrow, in 2015, we as God's people need to be assured of this promise, that when we speak to someone else about the Lord and sharing the gospel and sharing the word of God, that comes with a wonderful promise. It's not just something that your pastor's asking you to do. It's not just something that these folks up here are going to ask you to do. It's not just something that you feel like, well, I ought to do because there's such tremendous need. But the sharing of the gospel, the idea of making disciples, comes with this tremendous promise from God. All authority, Jesus said, in heaven and in earth has been given to me. And then in verse 20, he says, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. We have first the promise of God's power. Do you know that when you say to the Lord, Lord, I want you to use me like never before to share the gospel with people who don't know Christ, with my friends, my neighbors, relatives, do you know that when you do that, you are promised of God's power going with you and being with you if you're a born-again believer, because the presence of the Holy Spirit is in your heart and in your life. And all the power that has been entrusted to Jesus as Lord has been given to us through the presence of the Holy Spirit. So if you're here today and you'd say, you know what, Pastor, as I look at some of those mission opportunities already, I would like to maybe do that. I'd like to maybe share my faith, or I'd like to go serve in this kind of servant evangelism. But whenever I think about doing that, I become a little frightened, or it's sort of out of my comfort zone. And in those days, I want you to know all power has been given to you because it's been given to the Lord, and it's been surrendered to us, given to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I just want to say something to you. When God leads you to talk about Christ, it never just becomes second nature and old hat to you. If you say, Pastor, do you ever get nervous? You ever get tongue-tied? Do you ever question whether or not you should share at a particular time? And I would say to you, depending what's going on in my life, at what particular day it is, there are always those challenges that come to us about whether or not we're going to speak for the Lord and to share his gospel. And in those times, we must remember the promise of God's power. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to Christ, and therefore he has entrusted that to us. And we're also entrusted the promise of God's presence. He says in verse 20, I'm with you always. So you have the power of God and the presence of God. Here's the great thing. When you think, I want to talk to my daughter-in-law about Christ. I've known her now for 7 years. I've never had a meaningful conversation with my daughter-in-law about Christ. I really think maybe she's lost. She doesn't know the Lord. And God, I want you to pray that you would open up a door where I could have that kind of conversation. I want you to know that when you go to have that conversation, not only do you have the power of the written word, the spoken word, the presence of the Holy Spirit in you, but you also have the promise of the presence of the Holy Spirit. You have this wonderful promise that the presence of God is going to go with you in that conversation. It's amazing what will happen sometimes when you just talk to people and you give them an opportunity to talk and you just listen. Oftentimes, they'll just begin to share in such a way that they will begin to share things that all you have to do is affirm what they're saying in their own life. They may start talking about Christ and how they had heard about Christ from a child, and that they had heard that he had died on the cross for their sins. And you know what you're doing? You're sitting there affirming that, and you can say, that's absolutely true. You know, the Bible says that's absolutely true. He tells us that in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. And all you're doing is affirming sometimes the story that they are sharing. And so we have this wonderful promise of God's power and presence, and then you see this wonderful commission of God in verses 19 and 20. I've got to go quickly. First of all, you see this, that God commands us to go. He commands us to go, and this is not mere activities or programs. Are you listening, Calvary? If you are, say amen. It is incumbent upon us not to confuse the pearl of the gospel with activity. Those are two completely different things. We can be mission active and never sharing the gospel. Does that make sense to you? You can be busy, busy, busy and doing all sorts of things, but never getting to that point in that service where you're actually telling someone about Christ or you're inviting them to share their need with you so that you can pray with them and share with them God's word. This is much more than mere activity or programs. This is more than just mission activity. The command is to intentionally go throughout all of your life, sharing the gospel with the intent of conversion and spiritual growth occurring in another's life. Oh, my brothers and sisters, are you listening? We have moved past that point at Calvary where we're just interested in going for the sake of going and saying we've went on a mission trip. We must be going with the gospel every day of our lives. When we get up and we go to work, we need to go with the gospel of Jesus in our hearts and in our lives. When we go to the store and the marketplace, we need to go with the gospel of Jesus in our hearts and lives. If you say, preacher, why would you share that? Because here is what I know to be true. And if the Pages were here and the Davises are here, they would tell you this. Just because you get on an airplane and you go to another country, if you are not faithfully gospel-centered sharing the gospel here, you are not going to do it over there. Just because you go to another continent or another country or you get on a bus and go to East Kentucky, if that makes sense, say amen. And so the idea here, when Jesus says, I want you to go, the idea is that you are going as this gospel ambassador, is what Paul says in 2 Corinthians. And you're going with this gospel in your heart, the power of the gospel upon your lips. And so God commands us to go. God commands us to make disciples, and he commands us to make disciples of all nations. You know what we're doing here today, and the reason you have a missions guide that shows local opportunities and international opportunities, it is because we have wrestled too far and long with the idea, are we going to go here or are we going to go there? Are we going to share locally or are we going to share globally? Are we going to be more concerned with America or are we going to be more concerned with Russia? The question is, both and is the answer, right? To answer that question, it is both and. God calls us to make disciples of all peoples. That word nations is referring to different people groups. All peoples, near and far, at home and overseas, in our neighborhoods and villages, men and women, boys and girls need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you believe that, say amen. Monogamous, heterosexual peoples, and polygamous, homosexual, and transgender peoples. All peoples include the wealthy and the poor, the educated and the uneducated, the black, the white, the red, the yellow. Peoples everywhere need the gospel. I've never seen our country have so much racial unrest as it's having right now between what's occurring in Ferguson, Missouri, and what's happening in New York, with the grand juries determining not to indict two police officers for situations where a black African-American man lost his life. And I mean, the news is making that a frenzy. Are y'all listening today? Are you listening? If you are, say amen. I want to tell you the biblical worldview of how you should be addressing that and thinking about that. Are you ready? We will not have racial reconciliation in America until there is racial reconciliation in our churches. As long as there continue to be African-American churches and white churches, and the white churches are content in being white, and the black churches are content in being black, and we do not cross that racial barrier for the sake of the gospel, my brothers and sisters, we will never have racial reconciliation in America. When we can begin to love someone regardless of their skin color, and we're willing to bridge those gaps and not talk with hate speech, but talk with the gospel, gospel of Christ, then we'll begin to see God working in a wonderful way. And so God commands us to make disciples of all peoples everywhere. And then he commands us to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That means this, that we have shared the gospel, they've come to faith in Christ, and then we, watch this, We introduce them to the body of Christ locally, the local church, and we watch them follow the Lord, or we administer to them the ordinance of believer's baptism. We watch them symbolically be identified with Christ as they go under the water. And then as they're raised up out of that water, that symbolic message of how they're being raised in the newness of life, God commands us to bring people into his local church through the ordinance of baptism. And last but not least, God commands us to teach them. You say, what are we supposed to teach them? Now listen to me. We're not just supposed to teach them systematic theology. Jesus said we are supposed to teach them everything, everything that the Lord Jesus has commanded them. So we are to teach biblical doctrine, absolutely. But biblical doctrine, listen, keeps its finger and its pulse on the pages of Scripture and what Christ has commanded. And we want to be busy not only sharing and telling and baptizing, but teaching people what it means to be a Christ follower and a disciple of his. Now for the next few minutes, you're going to hear multiple opportunities from these folks behind me. First, you're going to hear from Brian. So I want to invite you to take your missions guide and open it up. And as he's speaking, you can locate. He's not going to work in order through this missions guide, but as he speaks, you're going to be able to locate things that he's talking about in this missions guide. There are contact numbers on the back of this at the time of invitation. We'll explain what we want you to do with this over the next month, but will you give your undivided attention to Brian as he comes?
Well, I hope you don't mark out what you don't like. I hope you actually prayerfully consider each and every one of these items. One of the items that I'm going to be talking about is the Renew. That's our community renovation and community campus renovation, community focus. Our campus is going to be completely renovated, and so that means beginning in April, we're going to need to relocate for 4 months approximately, and we're wanting to, in that time, to focus on our community. We want to see Christ glorified, and we believe that Jesus is alive, and therefore his church is alive, and so we want to send that message to our community that God is at work at Calvary, that we love Jesus and we love them as well. And so they're going to be opportunities for conversation of why are you relocating? Why are you renovating? Why are you doing these things? And we want to make sure that we are sending the message that we're doing it for Christ and we're doing it for them. And we want to see new families come. We want to see new people come and be a part of it. Just like why would a Wendy's completely tear down their facilities to build up a new one? It's not to make the customer, or it's not to make the employees comfortable. It's so that more people will come in. And so we're doing the same thing, but for the glory of God, and we want to see our community change. So we're going to be relocating at Barron County High School. The adults will be using the auditorium there. We'll be using some classrooms for the nursery. We're definitely going to be needing those in the spring. And then the kids are going to be using the children's worship facility, the gym and the Trojan Academy. So Sunday nights, you also see another option there are host homes, or not just Sunday nights, but throughout the week. We're going to have the opportunity for host homes. And this is going to be a natural opportunity, natural conversation to talk about why we are doing what we're doing, why we're renovating, and why we are off campus for 4 months. And it's going to be a great opportunity for you to invite new folks into your home who otherwise may not come on campus but are going to be here in your home. And so we're going to be talking more about that. But we want you to be praying about hosting a home during that time. And that's another opportunity. One more opportunity. In the summer, we have Center Kid already scheduled. The dates are in the missions guide, I think, in June 13th through the 17th. And we're hoping to take more kids than we've ever taken before. So we want you, one, to be praying about sending your child for a week of hearing the gospel. But not only your child, but we want you to be praying about the neighbor kids,
the unchurched kids that your friends go to school with, because they are consumed with the gospel all week long. Mm-hmm. They're away from their environment. They're away from just the normal things. This would be a great opportunity. And also be praying about chaperones. So if we're taking more kids than we've ever taken before, that means we need more adults than we've ever needed before. And so please consider praying about that. The deposits are due in February, and so you can see all the dates in there. And then the last thing I want to share with you, and I'm really excited about this coming year, and it's already in motion, is our next step, benevolence ministry. We're going to be launching that thing in January. We've already had some guys over there this week putting up walls and hanging sheetrock and all that stuff already at work there, and so we're excited about that. If you don't want to know what it is, if you've not already heard, it's a gospel-centered approach to meeting the physical and spiritual needs of our community. We want to go in there and demonstrate the gospel of Jesus Christ to those folks. And so we need champion mentors, people that come alongside these folks who are encouraging them, not just handing them food, not just handing them and paying their bills, but are saying, hey, listen, let's look at getting you a job and preparing you for life, preparing you, and just changing the whole perspective on life. And so we're excited about it. There's going to be other opportunities. We're going to need donations. There's going to be opportunities to come in and serve throughout the week. And so be praying about those opportunities. Again, there are multiple opportunities there. And so my question is, and you're going to hear it a lot today, is would you prayerfully consider, and we mean that, would you seriously prayerfully consider each one of these?
I want to share three things with you, two of those things being local and one of them being international. First of all, I want to give you these two statistics that are from Tom Rainer in his book, The Unchurched Next Door. Here's what Dr. Rainer says. He says, only 2% of church members invite an unchurched person to church, whereas 98% of churchgoers never extend an invitation in a given year. So 98% of churchgoers never extend an invitation to an unchurched person in a given year. And secondly, this. 82% of the unchurched, so the unchurched next door, 82% of the unchurched are at least somewhat likely to attend church if they are invited. Perhaps we need to pause on this response. Perhaps we need to restate it. More than 8 out of 10 of the unchurched said that they would come to church if they were invited. 8 out of 10. And if you take, here's what Dr. Rainer says from this book. He says, if you take anything from this book, please remember this point, that 8 out of 10, if they were invited, would say, we'd be at least somewhat likely to attend that. So I want to introduce you, first of all, to two opportunities of where we can give that invitation to our community. The first opportunity is the one coming up soonest, is what's going to come up in the spring and Easter. So if you look at your Easter line there in your Easter worship service, Easter is a tremendous time to give out those intentional, formal, and even informal invitations to worship. We come together and we worship the risen Savior. And what we know, because Christ arose, because he is alive, that we have reason to worship. That what we're doing is not a waste of our time, because Christ is alive. But we also know that from statistics that more people are likely to come during Easter, during Christmas, and during Mother's Day than any other time throughout the course of a year. So taking that opportunity to invite folks to our Easter service, and in the coming year, this is likely to be our last service together on this campus before we transfer over to the high school for a season. And the second opportunity to give out those formal invitations, those informal invitations to be around canvassing our community and our neighborhoods and our workplaces, is during our Thanksgiving worship celebration. I'm convinced of this. Presenting the gospel in song is a tremendous tool that the Lord uses to reach people. The lyrics to many of those songs that the choir lead us in and sing are lyrics that are absolutely saturated with the gospel. The truth that God created all, that man themselves have fallen, turned their backs upon God, but God sent his son Christ to reconcile man to himself, and that he had victory over death and over hell, and we can have life and life eternal. You will hear that in those songs that are sang. And what a tremendous opportunity we could have to invite folks, and that may not be open to coming to a typical worship service on a Sunday morning, but you know that you could get that invitation out there, and they would be more likely to come to an evening of worship where the gospel is presented in song. So that's that second opportunity. And the third opportunity I want to introduce you to is a trip that we have scheduled for March to go to Southeast Asia. We have asked the Lord, and we have prayed as individuals and as a church body, the scripture that's actually written on our wall back there, Luke 10:2, where it says, "The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray that the Lord of the harvest will send out more laborers into his harvest." We have prayed that as a church family, and the Lord has been faithful. He has heard those prayers. The Davis family is serving in Southeast Asia. The Page family is serving. We've had multiple individuals take short-term trips. If they haven't gone, we have all types of families, tons of families that have given towards those, and tons of families that have prayed towards those trips that are taken as well. But in March, during March 13th and through 22nd, tentatively, we're going to send another short-term team to Southeast Asia to minister at Bukidinda in their language, but Beautiful Hill, which is a church plant there in Southeast Asia. I'm grateful to the Lord that he has planted a church in that place. Church family, you wouldn't know how many times that I've prayed that he would do just that, but an international church that would reach out to their community. So this trip itself, we're praying that the Lord raises up a team, and maybe you're on that team. Maybe you can serve by going. We're going to ask all of you serve by praying. Some of you to serve and to partner in this by giving and maybe by sponsoring an individual, whatever the case. But we're really looking to have a team that will go and they will lead worship in this church plant there at Beautiful Hill, that maybe a man that's called to preach will go and they will preach in that setting and will declare the good news of the gospel that will challenge, encourage them. We want to go and encourage the Davises as they are there to see what's happening there. But we want to canvass the streets. We want to go out sharing the good news by doing that. We want to build relationships with people. Having been there, I will say this. It's been nearly 5 years since I went for the first time. And since that time, I know of one individual that I came into direct contact with that has passed away. And he passed away without Christ. His name was Haji Nasir. If the Lord doesn't do something drastic, that's going to happen day upon day upon day upon day upon day. Individuals passing on, not to eternity with Christ, but to eternity apart from Christ. We're praying that the Lord does a tremendous work there on those streets. And I ask you that you pray the same way. So how would you serve? Would you prayerfully consider not being that 98% that never offer that invitation across the course of the year, but you are really intentional during our Easter service coming up, during our Thanksgiving celebration that will be coming up, and even during our week-to-week services that we have, will you be intentional about inviting folks to worship with us here at Calvary? And would you consider praise team, praise band members, people with voices as we go and lead in worship, men that are called by God to preach and declare the good news, families that maybe can't go but can give towards going? Would you consider how the Lord would use you in those three areas?
I've sat on that stool till I can't hardly stand up. Sorry. We understand when missionary families go overseas that they leave behind their family and their friends and everything they're familiar with. And we also understand that they encounter tremendous cultural shock. So when they come back stateside on furlough, we're so happy to see them, we don't think about what they're really experiencing. We tend to think they're home, everything's great, everything's wonderful for them. But the truth is, their home is now in that country where they serve. And they're leaving behind friends, their new family, whether that be missionary families or locals that they've come to love. And they're leaving behind the work that the Lord called them to do and a culture that's become commonplace to them. It's home to them now. So when they come back here, they experience cultural shock in America. And sometimes that's hard to believe. it's just not a simple thing to settle back into American life when you've been accustomed to the life in the other area. So the Davises are coming back to the States in May for an 8-month furlough. So we want to do our part to make that transition easy and simple as possible. We want to bless them with the opportunity to rest, refill, and be ready, fresh and anew, to return to serve the people of Timios. Even though they love their people and the work they're doing, it can definitely be draining and stressful for them. So let's bless them with not having to worry about where they're going to live or what they're going to do for transportation while they're here with us. Volunteers will be needed to clean, to furnish, and to set up the furlough home on Cherry Street for them. They'll also need a vehicle to allow them to travel about, to visit family, to go to speaking engagements, and simply do their daily routine. So if you have an extra vehicle, some extra home furnishings, the time to help prepare the house, or if you'd like to make a donation toward that project, because I'm sure we'll need some funds to finish all of that up, it would be a great blessing to the Davises, and it would also be a great blessing to you. So would you prayerfully pray and consider how God can use you to be a part of the Missionary Furlough House and the Missionary Furlough Car for the Davises? I'll be joining you in that prayer.
Well, I want to talk to you just a second about three local opportunities. Most of you, if you're hearing my voice this morning, have encountered the first one I'm going to talk to you about. In some shape or form, when you were a child, you probably, or maybe as an adult, you had some kind of experience with Vacation Bible School. And so one of the local opportunities, and perhaps one of our biggest outreaches here in our community, is our Bible school. We usually average anywhere from 250 to 300 people, children, adults, serving during that time. And it's a real opportunity. Some of my first recollections of hearing the gospel and encountering scripture and hearing about Christ was during Bible school. And so that's probably true for a lot of you. And many of you probably, if I ask you, were saved during Bible school. And so we have a tremendous opportunity. We always have a lot of needs during Bible school. It is a huge week. It is a taxing week, but I'm going to tell you, it is just a really rewarding week. Come Thursday night when the gospel gets shared and a lot of those kids make a decision to accept Christ and to confess their sin and to follow him and turn their lives over to him, there's just no greater reward. There's no financial reward better. There's no reward better than to know that five or six, maybe just one child or maybe one adult, through sharing scripture all week long, comes to realize that they don't have a relationship with the Lord, and they get saved that week. That is just there's just no price for that, church. And so we always have a lot of needs during that week. Tracy leads that up, and I know that you guys are great to serve during that week, but I just want to ask you, if you've never served during VBS because you think, there's no way I can sit in a classroom with a bunch of kids and deal with them, a lot of them probably my kids, and so I want to tell you guys that we have opportunities for you. If nothing else, there's crafts. There's what do you eat back there? Refreshments, exactly. There's refreshments. There's things like that that you can do. Jared would love to have a bunch of people out there helping in recreation. And so that's one opportunity that we have this year to serve that. The dates you see in your guide there, July 6th through the 10th, you can actually see the theme has already been picked, Journey Off the Map. And so that's one area. The second area that we have this year, you heard Pastor Brian talking about, we have a real good relationship with our school systems. Not only Barron, but we also have a good relationship with the Glasgow school systems. Barron has been really gracious in allowing us to use their facilities for upward the last 2 years. They're going to be really gracious in allowing us to partner with us this spring when we need to be off campus. They're working with us on that. And we want to be able to say two things. We want to be able to serve our community, and we want to be able to say thank you to Barron County School System for what they've been doing for us. And so one of the opportunities that we'll have, as you'll see if you look down the page there, is the Game of Champions at Barron County High School, September 4th this next year. When staff was talking to some of the Barron County employees, some of the people at the school board there, they were talking about, they asked, how can we serve you guys? What can we do? How can we bless you guys? And the first thing that, one of the first things they said, it would be great if your people could serve in the concession stands, because if you've ever had a child in band, if you've got a child in band, if you've done that, those parents are usually working those concession stands. They never get to see the football game their kids perform. They don't get to see that stuff. And so one of the opportunities we're going to have is to roll up our sleeves and work that concession stand for them during the Barron Glasgow game. And if you're a native to this area, you know how big that game is, how many people turn out for that game. A lot of people just go to that game and no other games that year. This year it's at Barron County High School, so we're going to have a great opportunity to relieve those parents, serve them in the concession stands, and then we're going to throw out some T-shirts. Some real opportunities. We're going to work. We're going to work gate. We're just going to be able to be out there. And I would say, if you don't want to do any one of those, we would love to have you just floating around out there during that game and checking on people, doing whatever we can do to help serve them. And so that's the second opportunity we have. And then the third one is Upward. We have been doing Upward for somewhere around 10 years, ever since we've got back and gotten plugged in as a family. That first year we got involved in Upward, and that was the first year of Upward. And so some of you sitting in this very room might be at Calvary because of Upward. Your kids may have come to know the Lord because of Upward, because of the seeds that have been planted. And so we, this year, made a little bit of a transition, and we kind of redefined a little bit of Upward and changed some grades and some ages. And next year, we're going to go back with the fall again. You see down at the very bottom of your page, we joked in our meeting Wednesday night that it did say under Upward, early fall 2015, the statement was, this is going to happen. And so I told him I would get us back on track by getting up and saying, that's what I'm going to say, this is going to happen, so be ready for it. But we're going to go early fall. And Upward is not just about needing coaches and referees and things like that. Upward also involves prayer warriors. We're probably, you'll hear from Todd, might be asking you to think about just praying for Upward. One of the thrusts of Upward is to have 100 people praying for Upward, 100 days of prayer, and have people praying through Upward as we go through that. Because we know as a church that any endeavor that we would try to take on without prayer would just really be in vain. And so we want to saturate that in prayer. And I can't tell you guys, if you've never experienced Upward, you should come and see how many young families are in Upward. How many, some of them are churched, and our goal is not to rip them away from another church, but there are just a lot of families that just, they're not plugged in at church. They don't attend church anywhere. And so through a real practical application of basketball, sharing scripture every week, making connections. You know, one of the easiest ways to make a connection with an adult is make a connection through their child, and then you can get to the adult real easy with that. And so we're going to have a great opportunity next year to serve in that capacity again. And so that is the third thing that I wanted to talk to you about this morning. But I want to ask, just to ask you to prayerfully consider where you can serve. Those are all three local, and some of them may put you out of your comfort zone. And in Upward, we're not asking you to be, you know, John Calipari. We're certainly not asking you to be Rick Pitino. But we have needs in those areas. We have needs from just somebody to set up and tear down. If you've got a strong back, if you don't, we'll fix it, and then we'll move on. But if you can just move chairs, if you can pull tables down every Saturday just for like 30 minutes, if you've got 30 minutes on a Saturday to give, we could use you putting those tables back down, putting chairs out, cleaning up, just small things like that. If you can't get there, we could use you to pray. We could use you to be a prayer warrior for those kids as we go through the prayer emphasis, praying for those coaches, praying for those families, praying for those areas. And so would you seriously, prayerfully consider Vacation Bible School, whether you've served in the past, whether you serve every year? Don't just serve because you've always served. Make sure that the Lord has given you a passion to serve there and that he's leading you to serve there. Would you pray about the Game of Champions? How could you serve that night? Give up your night, serve in the concession stands, whatever that might be, and then Upward next year. We're just praying that God's going to make Upward even better next year than it's ever been. And so we could always use couples to serve in leadership capacities there, and we could use anybody, young or old. Nash went around telling everybody yesterday, he had a whistle around his neck, and he ran on the sideline. He ran around telling everybody that he refereed a basketball game, and it made his day. So you can never be too young to serve in Upward. You can never be too old to serve in Upward, okay? If you've seen Greg run up and down the court, you know that you're good to go refereeing a basketball game. So would you seriously, prayerfully consider serving in those three areas?
Good morning. I think I just heard Nick offer free alignments as part of a ministry option for 2015. You may be here this morning and you don't think that you can make a difference. And I want to encourage you that if you are different because of Jesus, you can make a difference because of Jesus. God has given us gifts and opportunities to do far beyond what we think we're capable of doing. In my assignment, I'm to encourage you to participate in three activities, three ministry options that you have for 2015. One of those is Operation Christmas Child. And it's such an amazing opportunity. I have watched my own children go 3 years ago from grabbing a box and stuffing it with as much stuff as they possibly could, getting to the end of that line, wrapping it up, putting a band around it, and then getting back in line again. To the second year, being more thoughtful about what they could put in there and move through that line to the end of that. To this year, I watched my children individually. We didn't do it together, but we did it individually. Pick up those boxes and think about everything they put in there and walk to the end of that line and sit at a round table, make a card, put it in a box, and pray over it and stack it in a pile over there. It's amazing to me that Jesus, the sovereign King of the universe, came to earth and was born in a manger. And that 2,000 years later, we can, through a shoebox, send that message around the world. And the people that deliver that to little children believe the same thing we do, that salvation is in Jesus. And I've counseled our young people and I counseled our family that there will be people in heaven because of a shoebox. We won't meet them till we get there together, but there will be people in heaven. This is one of the amazing opportunities that you're going to have in 2015 to do something with your spouse, with your children, with your friends. To gather not just on the night that we put those things in the shoebox, but for you throughout the year to help collect and gather things and to give. Things donated in love, things assembled and packed in love, things prayed over in love, things sent in love, things given in love, because we are compelled by the love of Christ, make a difference. And you have that opportunity, and I challenge you to strongly consider, not just you, but you and your household participating in Operation Christmas Child in 2015. A second opportunity that you have is student camp. And most of us in here this morning are adults, and the people that watched over us when we were rambunctious as children, most of them survived. So I'm encouraging you to consider and challenge yourself to participate in this. All of us can pray about the students going. Our goal this year for student camp for the older students is to send 40 students, and several of them will be unchurched kids. We've challenged our students to prayerfully consider a lost friend and inviting them to come to camp with us. I stand before you this morning and have spent 20 plus years in ministry as a direct result of a churched believing friend inviting me to an event where I heard the gospel and I believed. So I've been able to influence hundreds of people over the years because a teenager invited a teenage friend to hear the gospel, and I believed. You can help with sponsorship. You can help with prayer. You can help as parents encouraging your student to go and participate. You can help by encouraging your student to invite someone else to go. But you may need to go. As I mentioned at the very beginning, if you are different because of Jesus, you can make a difference because of Jesus. And we need your Christian influence. Some of these young guys need older men to stand before them and show what it means to be a person who walks with Jesus every day. Some of these young ladies need some of you older ladies to show them what it means to be a Christian lady devoted to Jesus Christ. You have that opportunity. In the middle of summer, We're going to be doing that, and that information is listed in your bulletin as well. And the third opportunity that you're going to have next year will be for some of you to go to Russia. When I was early in my ministry, just within a few months, I had opportunity to go overseas, and I learned that lesson that many of you have heard quoted, that the light that shines the farthest burns brightest at home. I could not travel across the ocean and share the gospel with people of a different color, a different educational background, of a different social group than me, and then come back home and drive by my neighbors and not be influenced and discouraged by me not going and doing that. It reshaped the way I saw the world, and it will do the same for you. It costs a lot of money to go to Russia, but the price is much higher to be disobedient to Jesus. And I want to strongly encourage you to consider going, to look in there in the fall when that trip is offered to go and to minister to the people of Russia. You're going to land in Moscow. You're going to get in a car. You're going to drive several hours, and you're going to go to Rybinsk, Russia. And there you're going to meet some of the most wonderful people that God's ever put on planet Earth. When I was a little boy, I remember putting my heads under the covers at night because of watching news on the television about things that were going on in the former Soviet Union, the conflict between the United States and them. And I lived in fear and terror as a young boy because of that. And to be a middle-aged man, to get on a plane and to go to that very country and see believers there. While I was there, I looked on a wall and there was an old picture of a group of members of Rebens Baptist Church. And that picture was taken shortly before the Russians, the Soviet Union folks, came in and took all of those men to prison in Siberia. And some of those same folks in that Baptist church, Rebens Baptist Church, that was their grandparents. That was their granddad. And they never saw them again. Jesus never left Russia. The Holy Spirit never left Russia. In its darkest day, he never left. And he's there today. And I encourage you to go and be a minister of the gospel there and let those folks minister to you. And I want to join with you, and I encourage you to prayerfully consider these options as opportunities for you in 2015.
Oy vey Istmir. Isaiah said that when he approached the throne of God, I'm dropping everything. I have all this stuff, but it's important stuff because prayer undergirds everything. If you look on our back wall, it says pray, sin, go. If you can't go, pray. If you can't send somebody, pray. So I'm challenging you today to pray. We may not feel that we're adequate, but with Jesus, we can approach the throne of God boldly. Todd Belcher is my husband. He's back there. He's a little drummer boy over here. He is the prayer coordinator for Calvary. And prayer is very vital and important in our lives. And I keep a prayer journal. I have an app on my Kindle that you can use. Did you know there's an app for everything now? There are 13 apps for Muslims to pray. Did you know that? There's only 5 apps for Christianity. There's little journals you can use that you can put people's names in. We can coordinate. There are cards you can use. I have Richie Rice's picture here. He's getting ready to head to Cameroon, Africa. I have a reminder to pray for my special family that lives in Timios and one little guy over here. He's not little anymore. And then I have a reminder to pray for China. Whatever you need to do to cause you to pray, put it on your bathroom mirror when you're getting ready in the morning, when your husband's shaving, that Timios card is right there. When you're driving, turn the music off. The big thing about prayer, it says be still. You got to listen to God. He changes us through prayer. It's not so much that God changes for us, we change by praying because he challenges us. He challenges us about the people we're praying for, the people groups. He challenges us for our nation. Did you know that abortion is on the downslide? That because of the concentration of 40 days of prayer around sinners around the United States, abortion on demand is on the decrease. And it is through the power of prayer. I have journals that I have highlighted answer to prayer. I challenge you to do that. Get a journal. Start notating prayers in your Sunday school class. Start writing them down, documenting. Show your children, show your grandchildren. This is an answer to prayer. That way the testimony of God will continue. I want us to, I'm really excited about this year because we're going to go back to the prayer clocks. How many of you are way back Calvary members and we used to do the 24-hour prayer coverage? Okay, we're going to do that when the people go to Timios. We're going to have a 24-hour prayer clock. And you can sign up for an hour of a day or a night or 30-minute block or 15-minute block. But whatever you can carve out, we're going to pray for the people going to Timios. We're going to pray for the people going to Russia. We'll have a board up. We'll have a sign-up sheet. But everyone will be able to participate. And this is something that everyone can do. So I'm the last speaker. I'm the last challenge. But it's the most important. Unless we pray, nothing will bring glory to God. Jesus called us to pray. He prayed, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Prayer is paramount and foremost in the happenings of what happens in our world, in our nation, and our community. Pray for our community, especially. Just look at the prayer guide. There's wonderful opportunities in your mission guide. Everything on this page needs prayer. Everything. So I challenge you today that you will join us all in reaching our community, reaching our state, reaching our nation. But most of all, pray, send, go.
I want to invite you to stand to your feet this morning, and I want to draw your attention to the inside flap of your missions guide. Will you grab that right now? And these folks are making their way down because on your way out this morning, they're going to be at the back doors and at the stairwell, whichever way you came in. They're going to have commitment cards to put in your hands this morning. You didn't receive these when you came in. I don't think you did. You're supposed to receive them on your way out this morning. And what I want you to do is take this card with your mission guide, and all throughout the month of December, we're in the first Sunday of December, all the way leading up to January 4th, we want to encourage you to use this mission guide, to use the prayers in there, to ask the Lord and to search the Lord and say, "God, how are you going to use me to make disciples and to share my faith in 2015? And on January 4th, you'll be hearing information about bringing your card back. And on Sunday morning, January 4th, in two services, we're going to give you an opportunity to respond and bring these cards and lay them on the altar in response to what God has directed you to do and how he's directed you to be a part in reaching our community for Christ, reaching our state for Christ, reaching our nation for Christ, reaching the peoples of the world for Christ. We really, really want to do that. And in that mission guide, there are really three prayers that we have put in there. First is a Great Commission prayer, a personal prayer. "Lord, may you create in me a clean heart." I want you to pray that this morning. Don't wait till you go home. I want you to, at invitation time in just a moment, I want you to pray that. "God, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me." Start with me. I'm praying that prayer. I'm not saying, "Lord, start with Brian or Justin or Tracy or one of the boys." I'm saying, "God, start that with me." And then I'm asking him, "Help me to pray unceasingly, and may prayer take a foundational place in the center of my life, in the center of all of our lives." A corporate prayer to pray for us as a church family. "Lord, reclaim Calvary to become a house of prayer with a passion for the lost. May your focus become our focus for the world." Can I say to you, guys, it doesn't matter if we renovate this campus. It doesn't matter if we're just really active. if we're not praying and asking God to use us to share the gospel, all of that stuff's going to be in vain. As your leader, as your spiritual leader, I dare not lead us into a renovation campaign, a building campaign, without putting more emphasis on the spiritual work that God calls us to do and really to be as men and women, as boys and girls, as families together. And so be praying, God, make us a house of prayer. Give me a real passion for my neighbor, my coworker, people that I encounter in the marketplace. God, may my heart break for the very people that your heart breaks for the very people you died for. And then last but not least, a kingdom prayer. Would you pray this today, this morning, and then in the month to come, really in the year to come? Lord, help me to respond to your call for local and global evangelization. Give me direction on how I can be a part of making disciples this coming year. Luke 10:2 is what we've been asking you to pray for several months. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into that harvest. And here's what I'm asking you to do. Pray and say, God, would you make me a laborer? Would you make me a spiritual laborer? As I was preparing, I didn't have time to prepare a full-length sermon. I knew we'd be tight on time, and so there's this great commission challenge. But the old hymn that I learned when I first came to faith in Christ, an old hymn entitled Bringing in the Sheaves, it talks about how the people of God will all be rejoicing when we're bringing in, you may say, what is a sheave? When we're bringing in the harvest that God has entrusted to us, as we're out sharing our faith. I want you to know people in Glasgow need Jesus. If you believe that, say amen. People in Kentucky need Jesus. People in America need Jesus. And people groups all around the world, people need Jesus. I don't want to go to heaven empty-handed. I don't want you to go to heaven empty-handed. I want you to go in obedience to the Lord and what God's doing in your heart. And just because of where you are in Him, there's this natural overflow to say, Lord, I'm really burdened and concerned for so-and-so and so-and-so. God, will you do a great work in their heart and life? And as they have questions, share with them the wonderful grace of Christ. So Justin's going to lead us in a hymn of invitation. I want to invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm going to pray for us this morning. I want to say to you, if you're here this morning and you would say, preacher, I'm in need of Jesus. I'm the one in need of Jesus. I want to invite you to come. I would love to pray with you. I would love to show you in God's word how you can pray to receive Christ, how the Lord desires to save you and allow you to be born again. Maybe you're here and you've been born again. You've been saved. You need to follow the Lord in baptism. Maybe you're here and you want to unite with our church family. When we get done praying, we begin to sing, You Come. If you're here this morning, you'd say, I need to pray this personal prayer. Create in me a clean heart. Oh God, renew a right spirit within me. I want to invite you to come, whatever need you have. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you. Thank you for the challenge that we see in Matthew 28, in Acts chapter 1, in the very life of Christ. Thank you, God, for the opportunities that we have heard, that, Lord, you're just laying before us a call to be a praying people individually and corporately. God, just this real call to evangelize and to share our faith and to invite people to come and see what the Lord is doing, and inviting people to go and tell what the Lord is doing. God, would you use us as a faith family? Work in us, I pray today, in Jesus' name. I want to invite you to come as Justin begins to lead us in song, You Come. On your way out, be sure to get your commitment card.